Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for Candle Nights Night 3. This year we have a special treat, a series of stories that we dreamed up together. Join us every other night to hear the next chapter. And in between, we offer some bite-sized ways to stay connected.
Light a candle, grab something warm, sit back, and relax around the hearth.
Be welcome.
Happy Candle Nights! Then, with this flame, let Candle Nights begin. Now remember, the story we tell these nights is but one of many. A single strand among a crowd, like a single star in the cosmos. It is both important and not important. It is a continuous web of time, space, and dimensions. And as storytellers, we may pluck a string to hear the story that whispers back. Our last story wove a tale of the great sleep and the dream which came into the minds of many. We met the witch with hair of flame, the one with raven curls, another with strands of sun silk, and a fourth with hair like the earth's loam. These witches had awoken to find a world refreshed, despite the marks of man that still lay upon it. They set off to explore, meeting those that had also awakened, and noting the names of the ones that remained asleep, eventually coming together at the crossroads before following the turn of the cycle and spreading out once more. Tonight's story is no different. It speaks of a different time. A strand that is woven in tandem but not connected to this one. A branch. It speaks of events that have happened, have yet to happen, and may never happen. It is a hand to the earth. It is living with the seasons. It is a reminder of what it means to be witch. The pattern of coming together and setting out again continues for several cycles. The journeys are made to find other dreamers that have awoken, to collect supplies, to adventure for the sake of adventuring, to figure out the missing wisdom of the dream. Each group heads off to explore different landscapes, some traveling to the seaside, others to the desert, and a few to vast meadows and plains. But in this particular spring, we follow our witches four, Flame, Raven Curls, Sun Silk, and Earthen, as they head deeper into the forests. The witches take their time in this journey. After all, there is no need to rush, no need to fight upstream against the flow of a busy world. They wake with the sun and rest with the night, choosing not to push through the darkness. They forage to eat, using a handful of old books to identify what is safe. They move through the woods with care, keeping to areas where the ground is clear or where other animals have trod, mindful to not disturb the plants and small life. However, there are days where the walking is made difficult by tangled undergrowth, most of it invasive species introduced by people, which the witches stop to help clear away. There are days where the weather is harsh and shelter is the priority, following the example of animals that hunker down in their nests and dens while the storm passes. There are days where they stumble upon the scars left by humanity, and the harshness of it catches them off guard. It is one of these areas of harm that the witches will find what they've been seeking. The walk through the forest is surprisingly easy today, almost as if the witches are following old paths through the growth. The spring sun is warm through the canopy, the birds are singing, and the witches begin to take up their tune until the scene abruptly changes. There's a large swath of clearing in this forest, but it isn't a meadow or other landscape cut by nature. Stumps litter the ground. Shattered trunks and branches bleached gray by the sun lay strewn about, an old road carved recklessly through the wreckage. This clear cut was caused by the hands of people. The witches exchange glances as they stand amidst the quiet graveyard and an agreement is reached. This is where they would stay for the summer. They must help the earth to heal. The work is harder than any of them anticipated, but stewarding the land so that it may once again flourish is a witch's work. Amidst shattered trees, there is trash strewn about. Patches of oil from machinery has soaked its way into the ground and poisoned water in a nearby stream. And even some large items from the machines themselves were left behind. Every step forward the witches take is met with three steps back to the point that it feels impossible. Then, the storm blows in. The sun rises blood red on the horizon, and the air is heavy and still. They keep nervous eyes on the sky as they carry on with the work, but it isn't long before the day grows dark and the heavens burst open. This storm feels like nature's revenge. The winds rip through the forest, lightning crashes all around, the rain comes down in sheets. This combination of elements washes out the clear cut and triggers flooding of the river. At first, the witches find shelter and hunker as best they can to survive against the onslaught, but they see an errant lightning strike hit a tree on the edge of the clearing and spark into the beginning of a fire. The witch with hair of flame and the one with raven curls rush out to try and clear out any animals that may be threatened by the blaze, while the one with strands of sun silk and the witch with hair like earth and loam hasten to quell the fire. At this crescendo of chaos, the witches realize that fighting or hiding from the storm is futile. They clasp hands amidst the rain, wind, and thunder and begin to breathe together. They stop resisting and instead lean into the storm. They feel its wild, whirling energy, how it fills the sky with electricity, how the rain pounds the land. As the witches tune in, and to each other, they feel a certain connectivity to everything around them, to the tempest, to the universe. The witches learn once again how to ride the storm without getting swept away by it. The morning breaks with blue skies and a calm breeze. The floods had swept away much of the dead wood, leaving a muddy mess in its wake. The river is now swollen and fast flowing. When it first blew in, the storm felt destructive and chaotic, but now looking around, the witches realized that it had been a healing sweep, washing away the last remnants of old humanity. As they walk around in the morning light, new signs of life begin to make themselves known. The branches and trunks, having mostly been swept away, left exposed small saplings that had survived the onslaught. The soil was upended and now attracts birds by the flock, all pecking at insects that are now at the surface. Small critters chitter around the edge of the clear cut, taking advantage of this shift in the landscape to carve out new homes. Before, the witch's work had been laborious and what they thought was best for the land. But now they decide together that it's time to pause and listen, to tune into the world the way they had to the storm. The witches watch how the beavers move in and build their dams, reshaping the river in a way that serves both their needs and the needs of the flow itself. They observe the mother foxes digging their dens, finding natural crevices among the tree roots or under large boulders. The landscape can be altered to house beings, but in such a way that works with the natural areas as opposed to a domination of the earth that had been the way. The witches live into the season, noting how the spring berries were not the same as those that are now ripe in the summer. They rise earlier and stay awake longer as the solstice nears and the sun extends its stay in the sky. As the days lengthen, the activity of birds grows. The witches sing along with their feathered companions, and in that harmony they feel a shift. As their voices raise to match the birds, they find that they feel the rhythms of the earth a little clearer. They note the activity of flora and fauna a little easier. Tuning into the needs of all around them comes naturally. This symphony, the taking up of this song, has made the witches realize that they had been approaching their stewardship as beings outside of nature, when they, in fact, are nature. For a long time, humans had lived and operated removed from nature itself, seeing themselves as separate from the mountains and the birds, as higher beings meant to control the world around them, rather than as a part of it. But the truth that the witches open their eyes to is that humans, too, are a part of it all. That they are children of the trees and the stars, that the barriers between man and the world can fall. This is it. The lost aspect, the missing puzzle that they were seeking. Nature must be included in the creation of the dream, with the animals as dreamers alongside the witches. Without their active participation, this way forward would never be complete. The witch with hair of flame, the one with raven curls, the one with strands of sun silk, and the fourth with hair like the earth and loam, are filled with a deep knowing, an understanding. They had found the missing dreamers in their feathered, furred, and scaled siblings. With this piece in place, they may begin to weave a way forward. So when the last of the birds begin the journey to their winter homes, stragglers on the wind, so too do they, leaving behind the meadow greener and more at peace, and their hearts filled with a song.
So the animals, nature, were the key to the dream?
Perhaps, but that is a story for another night. For now, we know that they learned what it means to be a steward of the land.
Being a steward of nature is about more than just fixing up the land, isn't it?
It is. In our day-to-day, it's about living in that cyclical balance. For example, eating foods that are in season.
It's also about honoring the ancestors of our land and offering gratitude for their work by continuing their stewardship.
I imagine it's also about leaning into the seasonality of our practice. Outer work in the summer, inner work in the winter.
By changing our habits to match the land, we learn to include it in the pacing of our lives. And through that, the web that connects us all.
It all goes back to the web, that connection.
It does.